Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
There's a lot of talk about what the world needs today, and Christians are wondering why God is mostly silent in response. But He has given us all things that pertain to life. He's given us exceedingly great and precious promises. So how is it that we have become fearful rather than faithful? Well, today, Janie and I are looking at a biblical example of a life turned upside down to find what was most important. So join in the conversation as we discover the gift of knowing the presence of God. As we talk about knowing the presence of God, Janie, I'm reminded of Job. After he lost everything he had and was covered in boils, remember his wife counsels him to curse God and die? But Job comes back and says to her, "You sound like all of those other foolish women. Don't be like them. Shall we indeed accept God's good and not accept some adversity?" And I think in our Christian culture today, we tend to be more like the wife. And we want to receive all the blessings from God, which absolutely He wants to give us. But then when adversity comes, we want to complain and gripe and blame. What could be in the adversity that would be beneficial to us? When I went through cancer, that was an adversity, but the blessing that came as I went through that adversity was phenomenal.
Well, and I watched you go through that, and where your experience would take me in the life of Job would be the final results, which he says over at the closing of the book of Job in Job 42, some excerpts from verses 2 and 5, he says to the Lord, "I know You can do everything, and that no purpose of Yours can be withheld from You. I have heard of You by the hearing of my ear, but now," this is talking about all the events that have been completed in the book of Job, "but now my eyes see You." And so what caused you to go from having a righteous knowledge? You've known the Lord for many a year. But what transformed you into having an intimate, passionate desire and focus that I didn't see you have before you thought you were dying? So your suffering, death, brought you out of a place of death into a place of life, of growing with new understanding, of having a new testimony and a witness. And maybe I shouldn't say new, because you still were witnessing and caring for him, but you had a life in you.
When Job is sitting there with boils, scraping himself in the pain, he's not sitting there saying, "Oh, I hope this never ends." No. But in that pain, we have to be purposeful about seeking the Lord moment by moment, because in that time, there's an intimacy that is built that you didn't have before. And I think that's what Job is talking about here. He has come to an intimacy of not just hearing with an ear, but a knowing in his heart.
Well, I definitely think it was a seeing in the heart, but there were some things that the Lord knew that for Job to fulfill what Job was saying, I know you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. The Lord knew that there was a deepening in Job's need to understand, and Job didn't know it because right. he was living as a righteous man. He was caring for others. Mm-hmm. He was doing everything that at that point he believed was right. And you know what? At that point, it probably was right. But the Lord knew that there had to be something birthed in Job that maybe Job didn't know.
So and it's like God wants to take us further in our relationship, but we want to keep God in this box. Job was doing everything he knew to do that was right, and then the Lord just brought him a step closer. And it's almost like today in our society, our Christian culture, we don't want to come outside the box and go a step closer to the Lord.
Well, and that would be that we enjoy our blindness.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
And we don't realize that we're blind. So what are we blind to? Well, when the Lord talked about knowing him, he always would say, come to me. So we knew that there had to be a change in focus when he was telling people, come, come and see. And then he says, all of you that are heavy laden. So he has allowed various trials to bring them to a point of realizing they have a need.
Okay.
Now, when you have a need, what is it that you need to have a need in or of? Well, as the Lord describes himself, meek and lowly.
Okay.
He is the picture of perfect, true humility.
Okay.
Now, in Psalms 131, that's one of the shortest psalms mm-hmm. and chapters in the Bible. And yet it probably gives us one of the best descriptions of how to see how the Lord wants to develop some true humility in us.
Okay.
And Sharon, as soon as we say we have humility, we don't.
We probably don't.
We don't.
Right.
If you recognize it, you may be enlightened to it intellectually, but true humility will probably flow where you don't even recognize it. You may be struggling with something else, and yet the Lord is bringing that trueness to you. And in Psalms 131, if I can, there's just three verses there.
Okay.
So let me just point out that the Lord says, my heart is not haughty. Now this is David talking, and David is saying, Lord, my heart is not haughty. It's not lifted up, nor are my eyes lofty. I don't think great things about myself. I don't realize that I am the great teacher and the great shepherd. I'm just a shepherd boy in a shepherd field wanting to know you.
Okay.
And now, neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. And in this day and age, we're getting a lot of alarming issues that are really too profound for us. We're not going to be able to solve them mm-hmm. in our own understanding, our own wisdom. The Lord has a plan, and we need to know the Lord to recognize the plan. So I need to be quietly waiting on him. And here's what he says again in Psalms 131. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. That's your mind, will, and emotions. Like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. There's a time when that child needs to be taken off of getting its nourishment from its mother's breast or maybe from the bottle. And that child recognizes when it's ready for some solid food.
Uh-huh.
And we're not going to give it steak, which may be too profound for that child to digest. But that child is going to learn what it's like to be calm and quieted. And the Lord says that is allowing his character, his disposition to become real in us. And the Lord tells us we must be humble. We must know humility, even though we don't vaunt ourselves up, because that's a false humility. So I just say that because the very last verse in Psalms 131 says, now, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. And we see that that's what Job did. Mm-hmm. After Job had been made known to him his need for humility by the loss of everything and going through the betrayal of his friends who really weren't his friends, even though they thought they were.
Right.
Job then comes up and says, I heard you with my ears. I understood the principles. I understood the way you wanted to rule, and I was following your rules, Lord. Mm-hmm. I was doing what you said, and I thought that's all I needed to do. But you knew I needed to learn something else.
Something more.
And that something more was just to know the presence of Christ. And why I say the presence is so important today, Sharon, I'm a little perturbed with what I hear on Christian radio. We have great teachers and preachers zeroing in on the season of the times that we're living in. And Sharon, they are causing us to be baffled. They're causing us to question and even fear the torment that they are so sure is coming.
Yes.
And we are being prepared for the unknown that's coming. But we have to know how to navigate the waters that keep washing up on our mind and our will and our emotions. So I'm perturbed that the teachers and the preachers and our social ministries are creating as much fear in us about what's coming as what the world is trying to create the fear to hold us in bondage.
Right.
And fear holds you in bondage. I don't care who the source is that's producing it.
Right.
So knowing his presence and being able to recognize it is the greatest challenge that I think we have right now.
So we're getting fearful and responding to a lot of these call to actions and getting involved in different aspects of where we think we can make a change. But the true call to action we need to have is knowing the presence of God.
And Sharon, one of the ways that we must change our thinking is that our God is not too small.
Oh? Oh, right? You mean to fit in our box?
That's right. We have reduced God and our knowing him by what we can understand about him.
Right.
And so what happens is we see him through our own eyes, where especially it causes us discomfort. Some of us see God as like a resident policeman. He's there to make you keep the rules. Job was trying to keep the rules.
Okay.
Sometimes we see him as just the big old granddaddy that just wants to give comfort. And Job was enjoying that comfort of years of following the rules, and God was blessing.
Okay.
God grows us according to his time frame, not according to ours.
Okay.
And our growth right now is, if it doesn't grow in 24 hours, we need to throw it out and find something that grows a little faster.
Right.
Or some of us who really have a heart to be submissive, we see him as the managing director.
All right.
And boy, that's a scary one, because then we listen to the teachers and preachers that are managing God's word, and we fail to realize that in the last days, there will be people managing God's word the same way Satan managed God's word in the garden and bringing us into deception.
Okay.
To where then we have a poor image of God being sufficient for our pain.
So we don't seek God ourselves.
That's right. So we have a secondhand God.
Okay.
We're getting everything from somebody else because we don't want to take the time.
Or be responsible.
Or be responsible. Okay. And then when I listen to people, and I don't question their heart because I'm not allowed to, but I can listen to what they're saying about solutions.
Okay.
And Sharon, I don't know how to use a Christianized phrase for a solution. So let me give you some of the solutions that I hear daily on the radio or I read on social media sites with people wanting to help. Well, you just need to study your Bible more. You need to pray more. You need to fellowship. You need to get together every time Christians are getting together. Okay, those are principles that I can agree. There's just one word that's missing. How do I study?
Okay.
How do I apply what you're telling me?
Right.
It's the difference between giving information and giving life.
Okay.
And you have to have that life living in you, flowing with the fluency of understanding to be able to take what's being said and then let it make a change in your life.
Right.
Job found out because Job realized he didn't know everything.
That there was more to God than just his little box.
Yes.
And I say that a lot because I think that's what we do in our Christian walk today is we walk everywhere in this box that we allow God to be in.
And you know what we do in that box, Sharon?
What?
We defend ourselves.
Oh, yes.
Oh, God, but I'm doing this. I'm meeting 3 times a week. I'm doing everything the pastor says, or I'm doing everything the ministry people are teaching me, or I go to 3 Bible studies a week, and I'm trying to apply everything that I...
And I'm there to serve every time the doors are open.
Yes, and here is a side note. I learn from you, and you learn from me. We know each other really pretty intimately. And when we look at each other eyeball to eyeball, we have history of what's fashioned you and what's fashioned me. When I go to a Bible study, it's kind of like secondhand rows. I don't know this person that's saying all the great things, what their life is like. We have found some people who do great Bible studies, we find out are living life of immorality.
Right.
We find out some preachers and teachers that are giving marvelous sermons are really making sure it all comes back to boosting their ego.
Right.
But Sharon, the Word of God is still life.
Well, that's true. The Word of God is life. But how do we discern who to listen to and who not to?
Well, Sharon, we need to be students of the Word, and we need to look at where the Lord has put a lot of emphasis, not only in the Old Testament, but in the New. And so what's been going on for 6,000 years? Warfare.
Okay.
All right. But how many of us are schooled in warfare?
We're not.
If you were to go to a group of ladies having a Bible study and ask them if they understand the principles of warfare, if they understand the tactics of warfare that God has said He called us to, you probably would get a diversion in conversation real quick.
Okay.
We see other nations training their people to be warriors from the time they're 3 and 4 years old. We are still trying to figure out how we can get our kids to Disneyland.
Right. Okay.
For comfort, for feel good. But when you are a soldier and you don't want to get killed in battle, you develop passion.
Okay.
You develop intensity.
Now we're talking physically. All of this is physical, but...
But there is a spiritual correlation to it.
Okay.
And in Ephesians 6, it tells us that we don't battle against one another.
Yeah.
We battle against unseen forces that are controlling one another in our thinking. And if we have spirits that are telling us life is a treat, you're to feel good, you're to pursue certain things that goes against the mindset of God, then we're not going to know how to discern.
Okay.
So one of the things that I would say is that Job went through his trials. He learned to discern what it was to see the depths of his own depravity. And then as he realized he could no longer defend himself against his friends, he started to question God. And even as he questioned God, he knew there was a solution.
Well, and we question God a lot today in the trials that we're going through and all of the fear tactics that we are hearing today, even from Christians.
And there's two points that I think we need to go there.
Okay.
One of them is that Job finally realized that when he tried to give the Lord his own self-vindication of what a righteous man he was, and he thought he was doing everything right, you know what he got back from God? Silence. And so Job, in his frustration, is thinking, why does God not come to help me? And the answer is incredibly painful. God went silent on Job for a season because Job had not yet come to a place where he was really willing to listen. That's why he had so much self-vindication. And instead of self-vindication, he should have thought about one word: repent.
So in the times when we are defending ourselves and questioning God, and God gives us silence, then maybe that would be a cue to say, where should I repent?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, sometimes if you do have your act all together, the Lord will still be silent because he can trust you with silence that allows your faith to be increased.
Okay.
But most of the time when he is silent, we're fretting and fussing and having explosive outbursts because we know something's wrong and we don't know what it is.
Or how to fix it. And we're looking to fix it ourselves instead of...
And what we'll do, Sharon, what we do is when he's silent, we run to somebody else that will talk to us to help us because we don't like the silence.
Okay. And the point number two that you want to make is?
Is that when Job repented and said, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job's heart had a disease that Job was not aware of until pain and suffering came as a blessing in disguise to wake Job up to the danger he was living in.
Wow.
We need that same wake-up call today for our faith to stay strong to the finish.
Yeah. Well, Ephesians 3:12 tells us that it is through faith in him that we can enter God's presence with boldness and confidence.
And we need to know his presence, but we also need to realize that the Lord said, do not fear.
Yeah.
And when we hear fear being the message, whether it's from outside the church or within the church, we need to seek God to see where we need to repent and know him, that we can be a strong witness to bring the comfort that God wants.
The comfort he wants, even in persecution, even in the adversity. And I think that if there's anything that we can learn from what Job went through, it's to put our trust in the Lord in every situation and circumstance. And Psalm 56:3 says, whenever I am afraid, I will trust you. In God, I put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Jamie Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.